Hi, this is Krishna McKenzie. Good morning. I'm bringing you a road back to nature, exploring permaculture, natural farming, and the subject of where does our food come from, which is really a reflection of our relationship with Mother Nature. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've been live here at the Auroville Radio. It's great to be back. And this week is crazy for me. It's been really mad. We have started our second Eat Local Week. Now, the Eat Local Week is an event that happens at Solitude over 6 days, from the 14th to the 19th of December, and we invite people to come for 3 meals: harvest, prepare, cook, eat, and go. So people came this morning, for example, at 6:30 in the morning, and we went around the farm and we harvested. This morning it was guava leaves we wanted for the herbal tea, so we made a guava leaf tea. But then we also made a little salad. Well, it was quite an extensive salad, actually. There was chicken spinach and rosella leaves and Chinese violet leaves and tender guava leaves. And there was rosella pods in it, and rosella flowers, and then the sangapu, the Radha's consciousness flowers. There were hibiscus flowers. There was green papaya, and there was purple joyweed. And what we did is we put all those ingredients together with a bit of lemon, some salt, some peanut powder, and a little bit of coconut, and it was absolutely exquisite. So along with that, we felt that an Eat Local Week would not be complete without demonstrating the use of ragi for breakfast. So ragi can be used in many different ways, and the ragi is called finger millet in English, and it's really one of the foundation crops of Indian agriculture. It's highly nutritious and very easy to grow. It uses less water. You know, it ticks all these boxes of local food. This is what I'm communicating to the participants, that the local foods have specific characteristics. Firstly, that they grow easily. Secondly, that they use less water. Thirdly, that they have a high nutritional and medicinal value. Fourthly, that really they are, you know, they're the fabric of a culture. And of course, does have a social relevance, they're ecologically relevant, you know, economically they're relevant. And it's the food we should be eating. So this ragi, without bringing that as an accurate demonstration to people's plates. So this morning we basically took the ragi powder and we mix it in water first, say a cup of ragi powder in a liter and a half of water, and mix it up, and then we boil it, and carefully mixing it so it doesn't get lumpy. And then we added jaggery, we added peanut powder, we added some sesame, we added a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you know, some little, what else was in there? Can't quite remember, but it was, we added some bananas. You know, you could add so many different things to it. And it's so yummy, you know. This is, my kids have grown up or eating that. Of course, you can also have it fermented, and you can have it in making little doses with it in so many different ways. But this is a standard sort of breakfast. And you look in our bioregion, you know, so many Westerners, I mean, how do they know about ragi? Of course, they don't know really about ragi because it's not part of their culture. But when we come to another country, when we come to another place with different foods, different climates, it makes sense to honor those foods and not be having cornflakes. Unfortunately, if you go in our shops, you find cornflakes for sale. And if people were aware of the industrialization and the damage to our planet, that this industrialized agriculture and the corn and the mass fields of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres and the machinery needed to make it, the petroleum needed to run those machines, the ecological cost of that corn to make cornflakes is so massive, I think people would stop eating the cornflakes. But they don't realize that because we're not exposed to it. So you know, giving ourselves a chance to have ragi for breakfast, you know, with the peanuts and the jaggery and the banana, and it make it, and it's so tasty, along with a beautiful salad that's been composed and harvested and composed by the participants themselves, along with a papaya piece and a guava leaf tea. This is a delight. You know, it's a real delight. After the breakfast, I gave them one more dish to try, and it was a bit, you know, a bit overwhelming, I think, because they'd already quite full. But there's a bean called black velvet bean. And now black velvet bean has 4 to 7% dopamine, well, actually L-DOPA, which is a precursor to dopamine. It's a mood enhancer. It's a powerful aphrodisiac, and it's good for women and men's reproductive systems. But it's also good for diabetes. It's also good for Parkinson's, I think Alzheimer's, and it's just a very, very tasty bean. Now, what we've been doing in this workshop is giving time to this subject. Now, time is our currency. You know, if you think about your kids and how much time do you sit with them and play with them and draw with them and read with them, I think that that's a reflection of the love for our kids, is the time we give them. It's not that we bought them a new computer or a new iPad or something. It's the time we share and sit with them. And it's the same as our relationship with Mother Nature. How much time do we give to go out into the nature, and how much time do we give to prepare food that delights us, that nourishes us, that when we eat it, we feel, oh, wow, I feel good. You know, that has a meaning to me, that food. So this black velvet bean that grows on the hedges, you know, you don't need to cultivate it. It's growing like everywhere. Admittedly, we did plant it in to begin with, but then it keeps self-seeding each year. Now, what we do with those beans is then we roasted them, and then I grind them in the mixie. But in this workshop, we're giving time. So we have this traditional granite stone called the ruple. It's like a pestle and mortar, but big size. Usually you mix the chutney and you mix the idlis in it. So in this ruple, we crushed the black velvet bean, and then we boiled it up, added some jaggery, and it's actually not, you know, it's quite thick. It's like a coffee substitute in taste. You know, you could equate it with coffee, but it's a little thick. So it's almost like having, again, a sort of a little mini porridge. But it's really yummy, and everyone really liked it. Of course, there's all the jokes about it having a dopamine and everything, and I don't know if anyone noticed a significant, you know, alteration in their mood, but everyone's smiling. I mean, everyone's smiling anyway, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing to demonstrate. And you just imagine, well, what if it was growing on all the fences everywhere, you know, around the town hall and around the solar kitchen, and people took the time to harvest it and processed it. It's actually very, very expensive. Economically, it has a huge value because of its relevance for, I think it's Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Its neurological effect. It's very well known in Sanskrit. I'm going to try and quote you the Latin name. I think it's Mucuna pruriensis, something like that. You can check it out on the Google yourself, you know, black velvet bean. And you have to Google, you know, its medicinal and nutritional properties and how to use it. So that's what we did today. Now we have the lunch coming up. So the lunch, the ummas in the cafe, and a bit myself and Deepa, my wife, we facilitate the participants to get involved with making the lunch, banana flour vade and drumstick spinach soup and banana stem side dish, like a sabji vegetable dish, poril, and millet dosas and millet, like as a rice substitute. And then in the evening, we meet again at 5 o'clock. And we haven't met today, of course, because it's not yet 5 o'clock. But yesterday we met and we went around the farm and we did again a salad. I mean, we did a salad. In fact, salad was not on the menu at breakfast this morning, but they asked to do it again because they want to again have that experience of identifying the plants, recognizing them, having the confidence to harvest them, prepare them and cook it again. So I think repeating this salad thing was really cool this morning, and probably will do it again this evening. So last night we did a salad, and we did an amazing dish in Tamil culture, which uses the same dough as the dosa and the idli, and it's called Kuri Paniyaram. Kuri Paniyaram. So the kuri is like a hole, you know, it's like a, like we say a kuri is what you would plant a tree in, you know. And Paniyaram is this, it's like a, it's, I sort of compare it to, it's like a puri and an idli cross. And then we made this incredible chutney with tomato and coconut and peanut and all this stuff. And a special ingredient was the tipli, which is the long black pepper, which is a really ancient plant in Tamil culture. It balances the doshas. It stimulates the agni, the digestive fire, which purifies the body of toxins. And we added the kandari chili, the birdside chili, which is a, it's on the list of the top 10 chilies in the world for spice, but it's very, very aromatic. It, people, when we sell it, you know, there's a competition to who can get it first. It's so in demand, and we don't grow it. It grows on its own. You know, someone asked me, where did you get the seeds? And I'm at a loss. I don't know. Maybe it was in the compost or someone maybe gave it. I don't remember. But it's now it's growing everywhere without any effort. So if we have a chili that grows to 3 meters height, it's easily 1,500 rupees a kilo in the market value. I mean, maybe more in COVID. You can Google the price. Kandari chili, birdside chili. It's super tasty. The top cooks come and they get it from me and they're like, wow, this is amazing. Like 5-star chefs in Pondi come and get it from me. Now, if something like that grows without any effort, why is it that it's not growing everywhere? You know, why is it that we let go of our responsibility where our food comes from, just to farmers, and only the food we get is from a shop. There's no logic to it. You know, there's really no logic to it. So I think getting these people to harvest that chili and recognize the quality of it and cook with it is really what the intention of this workshop's all about. Then there was another ingredient in that chutney. I'm sorry to go on just about the chutney, but it was really spectacular. It was the Kalparavali, or the throat plant, Indian oregano. Also in the North India, they sort of call it ajwain, but it's not actually ajwain, but it's like ajwain. And mostly people are using that. You can find it in every villager's house and in many houses in Oroville. But it's in a pot outside, you know, and it's like overgrowing the pot. And because people just use a few leaves once in a while. And you add that into the tomato chutney and it's spectacular. And what's more is it's giving you an incredible medicinal value. Now, my wife was just, when she was teaching the workshop last night, she was Deepa, she was talking about its medicinal values exclusively. And she was saying, like, for babies, what we do is when they have a cold, we roast it on the dosa table, the dosa stone, and we... Then you add a little rock salt to it and then you squeeze a few drops out of it and give that to babies and it clears their chest when they have a cold. Now, last night, my son had a really bad cold. You know, he'd been out and playing in the mud or something and he's had a really bad cold. So I went downstairs and I got this, actually it's growing on our balcony. So I took some and I roasted it. I added the rock salt last night and I gave it to him with a bit of honey. And the phlegm started clearing immediately. So because we used it in the food, it's there in my consciousness. It's there in my mind to use it as a medicine as well. And this is what we're looking at on this road back to nature, you know, is to reclaim the knowledge of these plants. But knowledge isn't just a linear accumulative information, you know, one thing and I learned a second thing and I learned a third thing. You know, you learn 9 things and then you learn one more thing. It's not like you learn 10. Then you know, you don't know anything. knowledge is something living. You know, it's part of your life. It's something you share and you act and you do. So that was a chutney yesterday. So we had this, last time we had this salad, we had the Kuri Paniyaram, we had a chutney. And we had then, at the end of the meal, and this was really the cherry on the icing, was a green papaya soup. Now, I've had lots of green papaya soups, but yesterday my wife was doing it. There's another volunteer at Solitude called Gomadi, and she's rejected all of this, you know, social things of jobs, and you know, she was a professional in academics, and she rejected it all, and she's just gone back to a very simple life, honoring her cultural heritage and spending a lot of time with her kid and her fam and her husband, and doing simple things like gardening and weaving and arts and learning traditional medicine and all this stuff. So her hand, my wife's hand, and then there's our one lady who works in our house called Paru, who is a very dear, dear family friend, actually. And she's also a great cook. So these guys, they made a green papaya soup so nice with, first they put a little oil, little ginger, little garlic, little onion, frying it. And then they added, again, they put little ajwain, a bit of this, a bit of that. They put the green papaya in. I think then they put it in a mixie. And then they added coconut milk. And it was phenomenal. And you taste that and you think, well, my God, if that was so good that people would actually pay to eat this. And we worked out the cost of the actual soup, you know, and we were thinking, like, what if there was a young guy, because there's one young boy from law school who's coming to this workshop. He's a fascinating kid called Gautam. And yesterday morning, for the tea, we did nanari, rosella and lemon and jaggery as a tea, and people were blown away. When he left the breakfast and went to school, he went and harvested the nanari and he made it for all the kids at the school. You know, for me, that is education. So we were just imagining, if a kid like Gautam, imagine he does a little event in his village, you know, in Edinjari to educate, or for his schoolmates, you know, in law school, to educate them about green papaya. You know, there might be a question, oh, but how much does it cost? We worked out it must be about, you know, 5 to 10 rupees max per person to make this soup. And it's so delicious because the ingredients are just everywhere. You know, and that's including growing the papaya. But at law school, they have endless amounts of papaya and they have the ajwain and they have this and they have that. It's local food really is a solution. So today we have a lunch, then we have a dinner. And then we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I also have an intensive weekend permaculture workshop. I think I'm going to be dead on Sunday morning with all this activity, but I will definitely be happy in my stomach because we are eating really amazing food every day. So these workshops that I'm sort of telling you about, they're going to be on next month in Jan. They're going to be next, the month after that in Feb and in March. And in April, so every month, there's a Eat Local Week for 6 days. And there is a intensive permaculture workshop, which I'll tell you about next week after we've completed this weekend. And these workshops are aiming for us to bring a different perspective to our life. You know, I've got one boy in the workshop. Obviously, he's done quite well for himself in IT and this and that. And he's obviously questioning his life and saying, well, you know, what's the use of all of that? You know, why am I running along, trying to become something? And I've been chatting with him and you can see that there's a deeper call. There's something in a call as well that's part of this road back to nature. And it's very, very beautiful to see that in people coming with such openness to explore how to change paradigms by starting to change themselves. So thank you very much for tuning in. I will be back next week and come over to the farm. We have a mini permaculture workshop every Wednesday, irrespective of these other bigger workshops. They have a soap making workshop exploring how to make our own soap. That's every Friday. Both these workshops start at 10:30 and they include lunch. And we will have an amazing concert on the 23rd, which is a Wednesday, with Armando, Dani and Rahul, and I think special guests Noe and Amrit. And I think there's one guy called Krishna who might also get up and do some numbers. And on the 30th, there's another show on a Wednesday, and that's with my band Emergence. And I hope that will happen, to just rope in my drummer. I'm looking forward to it all. See you next week. Thank you very much.
இது ஆரோவில் ரேடியோ.